First, the good news. God is gracious. As Jonah says it, God is a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and ready to relent from punishing. Maybe we'll come back to that later. First, we're probably going to talk about our gospel lesson for today, in which we hear that God is generous. God gives beyond what we deserve. The point of the life and death and resurrection of Jesus is that God gives us not what we deserve, but something closer to what Jesus deserves: love and forgiveness and welcome. That's what grace is. It's God giving us better than we deserve. And we all know this, and it would be fine, except that we're humans, and so we tend to see ourselves, right? First, we tend to see ourselves as the heroes of the story, and we tend to see ourselves as the good people, the faithful people, the people who have served God all day long. And deep down, we think that's why God is gracious to us. We think that's why. We ultimately think that we deserve more than those other people doing that other thing. We hear this parable today, and at some level, so many of us identify with the grumbling workers who want more than those who showed up at the last minute. In the spirit of today's parable that Jesus tells, I'm just going to say a few things that I think probably you already know, but hopefully they'll be annoying, suitably. The parable was annoying to those who Jesus told it to. So the obvious thing: we don't get what we deserve. Nobody gets what they deserve. Fairness is a mirage. The world isn't fair. Life isn't fair. You've said it to your kids. What was it? It was Rolf Jacobson in the Luther Seminary podcast said, whenever his kids say, "That's not fair," he would always say, "The fair happens in August, and it's where they judge the pigs," because apparently that kind of guy. And then he was lamenting how the fair didn't happen this August, and he needs a new catchphrase to annoy his children. Woo! You know life isn't fair, right? And we want it to be fair. We want it to be fair, but it's not. Sometimes some people get what they appear to deserve. I think it's possible. It's not like it never happens, but it's not the way the world works. It's not the way things are ordered. Like, our sense of fairness and justice just doesn't govern what happens. It's just not how it is. One of the things I hear a lot from people about this is about karma, and I don't know everything about karma, and it's a concept from another religious tradition, right? So I don't get too far into it. But it seems to me that the way most Americans talk about karma, it's, well, I want that person to be punished, or I want revenge on that person. I want that person to get what they deserve. And I can't do that, so I'll assign that to some cosmic power that's going to give them what they deserve so I can feel better than them, because they're going to get it. Because karma. Well, I don't know. Maybe that's how karma is really supposed to work. But most people aren't Hindu, and it's not really a thing, and it certainly doesn't fit with the kind of worldview that Jesus is presenting here, where God is generous and gracious, and that's the cosmic power that we believe in, that we ascribe to, and it's not a power that's generally used for vengeance and dealing with our petty squabbles and things. Oh, I think that guy should get it. Probably God doesn't care if we think that guy should get it. It's just not how it works. One more. Meritocracy is a myth. Doesn't really exist. I mean, sometimes in some cases, like, some people can work towards stuff, but ultimately the way this country works, you were born into it, and that's what you get, and that's mostly how it is for most people. And the annoying part is that this country is actually better than historically many countries have been. I mean, there is the American dream, where you can, like, create your own destiny or whatever. And it doesn't really exist, but it's still better here than, like, if you were a serf in medieval England or whatever. I don't know. You know, there's certainly worse ways to go about it than this one. But the idea that, like, everybody, oh, I work hard and I earn what I have, and now I'm a big, strong man or whatever, like, that's nonsense. We were given so much. We were given so much. Those of us who have, those of us who earn. I mean, what is that? I mean, how much money did Steve Jobs get from his mom or whatever, right? Sure, he's a genius, but he still got hundreds of thousands of dollars from his mom before he did whatever. That's just how it works. True, pure meritocracy is not really a thing. And it's a thing that we want to believe in because it appeals to our sense of fairness. I want to believe that if I get up early in the morning and work hard all day and whatever, that I will be ahead of these other people. Because ultimately, that's what I want. I want to be ahead of the other people. I want more than they have. I want to feel that I'm better than them, right? Isn't that really the motivation for so much of what we do? And that's precisely the very human and very reasonable motivation that Jesus is trying to poke a hole in and watch the balloon go in today's parable. My kids have been blowing up balloons and letting them blow around. I've got a lot of that in my head lately. I've talked before about this, and I think about it. I'll talk about it again today, just briefly. I think a lot about the distinction between blessing and privilege. When has God blessed me, and when has society privileged me? It's sort of the question of my life that I'll always wrestle with. When have I received something from God, and when is it just that like I'm a white dude that's healthy and whatever, and that's what America likes. That's why I have this job, is because I'm a, you know, white dude who looks decent and appears to be healthy, and that's the kind of leaders that this country gravitates toward. So that's how I got here. That's what it is. It seems to me that blessing, as I think about it today in the context of this lesson, the blessings that we receive from God are designed for the good of all. When God gave more to these workers who worked less, it was kind of an equality thing, right? It was a matter of God giving the same to everybody, of not punishing those who just weren't hired for the day. You know, it says, like, why weren't you working? It's not because we slept in or whatever. They said, it's because nobody hired us. So God said, okay, I'm not going to punish you for the decisions that somebody else in power over you made. I'm going to give you the same as everybody else. I'm going to give you the daily wage, the dignity of the others who worked. The focus, the grace, is on those people. It's on the people who need it, not the people who worked all day, not the people who earned what they need to live, not the people who already have that dignity of work. Those are the people that God is less worried about because they're handled, they're managed, they've got what they need. And so in this parable, the landowner who, in the place of God, in the standard reading of this parable, you know, is looking out for the other people, the little people, the people who have less. That's what God is doing. That's what blessing is. Blessing is for the good of all. When I've received something from God, it's meant to be shared with others. It's not something for me to keep. When I think about privilege that society has given me, you know, our society is so caught up in individualism and ultimately selfishness, and, you know, you got your meritocracy, you got your Protestant capitalism, you got all these things that mess up things in our society. And ultimately, privilege is what we have that say, well, this is mine. That's what privilege is. Say, privilege is when we receive something, when I receive something, and I am told that it's mine, that it's natural to me, that it's innate, and it's what I deserve. So, like, I keep saying, like, I'm a white, straight dude. I fit all the criteria for what leaders have always looked like in this country. And what wealthy people have always looked like in this country, and I'm expected to live into that standard for myself. And yeah, maybe there's a little extra to trickle down to other people, but ultimately, privilege teaches me that this is, that I've been given this for me, or that I've earned this for me and for mine. Ultimately, my society wants to tell me, because of who I am and how I was born and how I was raised and what I've received, that I'm better than other people. That's the message that our society wants to give me. God says, nah. God says, no. That's not what it is. The tremendous punchline of Jesus' parable today. Or are you envious because I am generous? You know, this landowner hires the people throughout the day, brings the last people in first to pay them first, really to pick a fight with the people who worked all day, to prove a point to them, just to get to this line? Or are you envious because I am generous? And the answer obviously is, well, yes, I'm envious because you're generous. I worked more, I should get more. That's what's fair. But it's not yours to give. I mean, don't be envious because someone else has received mercy. Don't be envious because someone else has received grace. I mean, I often think of debt, you know, specifically like student loan debt is a big issue that people talk about now. And somebody says, well, we should cancel student loans. And other people say, well, I had to pay back my student loans, so why should you give them money when I didn't have... Like, why? Why are you being jealous of that person just because they're receiving mercy? It doesn't affect you negatively. It just gives you less reason to feel superior to them. What's the problem here? Why can't you just be glad for other people who have received grace, received generosity? Finally, we're going to go to the example of Jonah. Such a great story. I'm not going to get into how much I love Jonah, but it's such a fun story. And I'm just going to read a little bit from the end of it, or even from the beginning, I guess. The beginning of our reading, which is the end of the whole story. That's what I meant. It says, when God saw what the people of Nineveh did, how they turned from their evil ways, God changed his mind about the calamity that he had said he would bring upon them. And he did not do it. So the deal was, Nineveh, you know, was the enemy state. It was the Assyrian Empire. It was the evil enemy of the people of Israel, of God's chosen people. And they were evil. They were killing, they were slaughtering, they were all the bad things, whatever. Every bad stereotype was true, apparently, as the story goes, of Nineveh. They were the very worst people. And so God sends Jonah, and Jonah doesn't want to go, and the fish thing happens, and he gets spat back out, and finally Jonah goes, and he says, in 40 days, God will destroy all of Nineveh, or whatever. And Jonah doesn't want anything to do with it. And the people hear, and they all believe it. And it's the most ridiculous part of the story is not that Jonah was inside a fish or whatever. It's that the emperor of Assyria and all the people of Nineveh immediately change their ways and repent and put on sackcloth and ashes and woe is me. And they decide to become good. It's completely ridiculous. I almost called it Looney Tunes, but I probably should call it Looney Tunes because it's a cartoon. Because the story of Nineveh is a folktale that we should be reading as a cartoon. But anyway. So the people change and God relents and says, I'm not going to destroy Nineveh anymore. And so we get back into the text. But this was very displeasing to Jonah and he became angry. He prayed to the Lord and said, oh Lord, is this not what I said while I was still in my own country? That is why I fled to Tarshish at the beginning. For I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and ready to relent from punishing. Jonah knew who God was, and Jonah didn't want God to be like that. Jonah knew that the people of Nineveh deserved to be destroyed. They had absolutely earned that condemnation. They were the enemy of God's people. They had oppressed God's people. They had killed God's people. They deserved to die. And Jonah knew it, and that's why he ran away. Because he knew that God was giving the people of Nineveh another chance, and he didn't think they deserved another chance. He was sure they didn't deserve another chance. And so Jonah wanted nothing to do with it. And he got there, and he did the job in the worst possible way. Apparently, the sermon that Jonah preached to the people of Nineveh is taught in preaching classes as the worst sermon in the history of the world that had the most success. So that's a good... Apparently, preachers are supposed to learn that even your worst sermon can do... God can do great things through your worst sermon. So I should probably keep that in mind more often. Or maybe not, because the quality could get even lower than it's been. But no, the point is, Jonah didn't want anything to do with this, and yet God did it. God relented. God spared the people. God gave them another chance that they absolutely did not deserve. It made Jonah mad because Jonah knew what they deserved. Jonah wanted them to get what they deserved. Jonah wanted God to be fair. Jonah wanted God's justice to be fair. But God is not fair. God doesn't give us what's fair. God gives us, and by us I mean all of us, what is better than fair. God gives us more than we deserve, greater than we deserve. That's what grace is. And it can be frustrating. It is frustrating when we assume that we've received fairness instead of grace, and we look at others and become envious because God has shown them grace as well. But this is who God is. This is who God has always been. Gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love, ready to relent from punishment. And the idea of following Jesus is that we recognize what God has done for us, that God has given us better than fair, that God has given us more than we deserve. And the idea is that we respond by being thankful. And when we are thankful for what God has done for us, then we can be generous to others. We can be gracious and merciful, slow to anger, slow to judgment. I don't know about abounding in steadfast love, but we can squeeze out a little bit of steadfast love, even for those people, whoever those people are. That's the whole thing with following Jesus, that we have received mercy so that we can be merciful. We have been blessed so that we can be a blessing to those who need mercy, to those who need to be cared for, to those who need grace. Amen.